The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Ireland is on track to become the most obese country in the world. That was the World Health Organization's prediction before the COVID-19 pandemic. But now, with many having gained what they call a COVID stone during lockdown, 90% of people are expected to be overweight or obese by 2030. Joining me now to talk about how we can tackle this obesity crisis, Dr. Ava Orsmond from Orsmond Clinic and Siobhan Byrne, owner of Body Burn Fitness. Good morning and welcome to you both. Ava, we'll start with you first of all. Can we trace the origins of this? Are we simply stuffing our faces, or is there something else going on?
I mean, really, it's many things together. Obviously, we are eating more calories than what we should be eating. That's obviously the bottom. And of course, we are moving less. But really, in my opinion, it is the diet that has dramatically changed. People have sort of, they think they have less time, and the whole home cooking and, you know, doing food from scratch has gone, and we are very much relying on processed food. And I think also with this fact that the weight, we had increased with the weight, like you were saying, the statistics there, they have been quite increased from 1998 to 2018, like 23% increase in the obesity. You know, people have sort of lost the idea how a normal weight person looks like. We're calling ourselves heavy boned, and it's in my family, and I'm a heavy boned girl, and so on. So we see a normal sized child, and we think it's the child might be underweight, where in reality that's how children should look like. And obviously, having lived in Ireland for the last 20 years, coming from Finland, where we are quite straight talking people, and we are not as so maybe polite always like the Irish are. We just say things the way they are. And I think that in Ireland, there is obviously a lovely culture, and Irish people are known to be gentle and polite. But I think this works a bit against them in health because it's very difficult often. Doctors in outpatients departments, in GP practices, in hospitals, they are battling to address the issue of overweight. When it's, I think, should be addressed when it's not yet that huge. And maybe then when it really people are morbidly obese, it addressed, but then it's much more difficult to correct. And I think this is where the whole prevention is better than cure should start. We should start talking about weight as a health parameter the same way we talk about high blood pressure, other lifestyle things like smoking and alcohol consumption, and not be tiptoeing around it.
Now, one of the measures of your body shape and so on is BMI. And yet, when we talked about this during the week, Siobhan, we heard from people saying, look, I go to the gym a lot, I exercise a lot, I build muscle. When I do my BMI calculation, I'm obese, but I ain't. I'm just fit and muscular.
BMI is really so outdated for people who train, to be honest. And I'll give you an example of that. My husband went down to a new GP close to where we live one time when he had a little bit of a cough going on about 2 years ago. And I said, no, please go down and just get this checked out. And she did his BMI. And for anyone who knows my husband, he's an ex-bodybuilder. He is a triathlete, an Ironman. He climbs mountains all the time. He's done Kilimanjaro, Mount Elbrus. He is one of the fittest men in the country. And she told him he was overweight. Clearly, she was not looking at what I look every day, because his muscle mass is huge. So BMI does not allow for that. And that's a problem with BMI if you train. So you could use that if you're a regular person and you're just, you know, if you're overweight. But you, let's be honest, Pat, you can see yourself in the mirror. You know yourself if you're overweight.
Yeah.
We don't need BMI to tell us this, you know.
Yeah, I'd worry about discrediting BMI entirely, because as you said, and as our listeners have said, it doesn't apply to people who've built a lot of muscle in the gym. But,
exactly.
You know, it could be offered as an excuse when someone is told your BMI is too high, that they say, ah, oh, should that BMI thing? Who
it's
believes that anymore?
Point. It's very, very good point, because really it's the waistline measurement, which is very easy to measure. It's basically measurement around your belly button, and it shouldn't be more than half of your height. BMI works obviously fine in big scientific studies, and BMI is much better measure for women than it's for men. But There was just recently a study by Professor Taylor from Newcastle University, and Professor Taylor is really a sort of a author in type 2 diabetes prevention and study, and he actually made a recent study where he demonstrated that if you don't fit into the genes at what you were fitting at age 21, if you don't fit in those anymore, even if you were normal weight, you would be already risking type 2 diabetes. And this was found very upsetting by many people because they felt that this was already fat shaming and all sorts of other things. All he was trying to demonstrate with this study is that if you had a BMI under 25, because the cutoff point for BMI is 24.9, if your BMI is under 25, but your waistline is actually more than half of your height, you are already increasing the risk for type 2 diabetes if you are the person who has what we call low personal fat threshold for excess weight. And this is something what we don't exactly know. Why some people get serious metabolic health consequences at lower excess weight level than others. And I sometimes often say this to some of my patients who I see people who are very overweight and they are very healthy regarding when we take basically blood samples and the typical sort of way we address risk factors. And I say, I see people who say, you know what, you don't deserve these results. And then I see some people who have very little excess weight. Like once I helped a lady to reverse her type 2 diabetes and she was only 6 kilos overweight, which is one stone, but she was carrying all her excess weight around her waistline.
So let's talk about fitness, first of all. Siobhan, can you literally burn the calories away to fitness? What do you need to do? Because lots of people walk, some people jog, but I've been told that it's actually bearing heavy weights. That's what really burns the fat.
Okay, well, first of all, Pat, I'll just remind everyone that you can't out-train a bad diet. And Dr. Ava will tell you that just as much as I will. It is impossible to out-train a bad diet. You go out to your walks, your runs, your strength training, or whatever you want to do, and you come back and you consume too many calories, you are still going to put on weight. So we have to get a handle on that as a nation, that you can't just be filling yourself with all the calories that you want, no matter how you train. The second thing is that I will be the biggest advocate forever of strength training. It is the holy grail of training because it works the muscles, it helps with bones, it does so much for you that using that, as especially for women, because it's so important for women to be strong as they get older in life. So any women that I would have coming in their 30s, 40s, I'm such an advocate of training, but generally as for everybody. If you want to also, people like running for lots of different reasons, but you need to know what you're doing and why you're doing it. There's no point you saying, I've so many people coming in and going, oh, you know, I'm cycling to work every day and I'm still putting on weight because you're consuming extra calories, because your body's got used to the cardio and because you're not shifting the weight now and that's what's happening to you. So you have to get into a situation where you understand what your body needs in order to lose. And the biggest thing is calories. You have to decrease the calories. And as Dr. Ava said at the start, it is back down to the food. Our first and foremost problem is the food. You should be training. Absolutely. Everybody should be training. Absolutely. 3 to 5 times a week, you should be doing some sort of training, whether it's getting out for walks. And everybody is different, Pat, and everybody is on a different path line. So for some people, training could be for a marathon. Other people, it's just getting up off the couch for the evening and going for a walk for 25 minutes. Whatever your goal is, that's fine. That's your start goal. But you need to start somewhere and you need to understand why you're doing it. There's no point of saying to yourself, right, I'm going to go out and have a walk every night and come back home and have a cup of tea and a scone. And you've just put on more calories than you've actually burnt off. That's not going to work for you.
You said something there in passing, Siobhan. I'll come back to you, Ava, in a moment. You said your body gets used to the cardio. Are you saying that, you know, if you cycle to work every day, that it stops doing you good because your body in some way, you've got fit enough and therefore there's no effort?
Yeah, let's be clear about this. Any type of cardio exercise is very good. What's it good for? It's great for heart. Do not stop doing your cardio exercise. But your body adapts to cardio very easily. Right. So hence, it's much easier to do a run, get a bit longer in the run, get a bit faster in the run. You want to look at what, if we're really looking at burning fat, and let's be honest, I'm all about burning fat down. I don't want to lose weight. I want to burn fat. So if I'm losing more than, if I'm overweight and I'm losing more than 2 pounds a week, I know that there's more, there's probably fat, there's water in there, and we don't want to be losing all the water. You might, if you're going on the start of your journey, you'll lose a certain amount of extra calories, extra weight loss in the first few weeks. But when you get into weight loss, if you have a good bit of weight to lose, it should be 2 pounds a week, fluid, controlled, nice and steady eddy all the way. That's what we want to be looking at, fat loss. Not huge, big, half a stone off every week, because that's not right, you know, and also that's not maintainable. You know, you can't keep that up. So we want just true fat loss. So I'm a big, although the scales is important, this whole thing of hopping on and off the scales now every day and, God, well, I had something bold last night, so I got on and look, I'm up 3 kilos and how is that possible? This is just messing with our heads a bit. We have to get structure in place with ourselves and be right. I'm going to weigh myself this time every week. I'm going to take out the jeans that I had 3 years ago that used to fit me nice, but they're a little bit tight now, and pop them on and go, well, I feel like they're a little bit better. They're maybe closing a bit more now. Well, everyone has that piece of clothing in their wardrobe that they haven't worn in years and they want to take out. And it's a slow and steady pace to get to that destination. There's no fast fix. It didn't go on overnight. It's gone over a long period of time, and we need to let it come off over a long period of time. And that's the key point in this.
Eva?
I don't totally agree. I have a very good point Siobhan was bringing up, but I don't totally believe in that not losing weight fast, because there are now, for example, enough scientific evidence that fast weight loss is vitally important for reversing type 2 diabetes. What is very important, though, is the composition of the diet. And you cannot, unfortunately, totally avoid, you know, you will lose always some muscle. And obviously, that is very important, how the diet is structured, that there is enough protein and there is enough plant-based food. And it's obviously structured to the size of the person. While you were having very good point there about the way, you know, people do cardio, but I don't totally believe that people adapt and that's the reason they don't burn anymore or lose weight. I think it's more because in the end of the day, I do believe that the scientific, you know, laws are still, you know, valid. And end of the day, the amount of calories and energy we're burning, you know, and how many calories we bring in nutrition is still valid there. So, of course, if you are burning more calories that you're bringing in, you are losing weight. And the weight will come either from fat or muscle. And that is very much dictated by what you are also eating. But the point there is that obviously if you are continuously yo-yo dieting, you usually put on fat and actually, you know, you don't put on muscle unless you actually work hard to put on the muscle. And of course, very valid point, when we're getting older, we need to, even more important, the weight training, because that is what keeps us together. And that's obviously burns calories as well. So a lot of good points. Obviously, there is so much misleading information out there that many people are very still confused, and people are continuously looking for different diets, from this diet to that diet. And there are all sorts of weight loss products out there which are promising you drink this and you will lose weight during the night when you're sleeping. I mean, I have been involved in many scams over the internet where my face has been stolen from some adverts, and then I'm apparently selling some magical pills on internet. And it has really upset me a lot, because this, not even prescription drugs has been invented that can help people to lose weight. Still in today's age, the way we lose weight is by being in energy deficit. But fast weight loss, if well structured, like for example, very low calorie energy diet, which I use and have been using for the last 15 years to help people to reverse a type 2 diabetes, there is scientific evidence that it does work. But of course, if you just, you know, do these long fasts and juice fast and you don't know what you are eating, I totally agree with Siobhan. Right. They no good.
Some of the comments coming in: the size of Irish people has gone through the roof. There's no point in blaming it on COVID. It was coming down the line long before COVID. Kids are in serious trouble, says one. It's easy for Eva and Siobhan. It's their everyday activity. But for some of us, 3 kids under 5 working every day and running a house, where do you find the time to do the exercise and perhaps now, even to do the healthy cooking that you're talking about?
Pat, I don't find it easy myself, to be honest. The reason
I would agree with her, yeah.
is because It's not easy. This is continuous fight. I say to everybody, you know, maintaining your weight, even if you're overweight, is already hard work, let alone losing it. So it is a continuous fight, and you need to look after your lifestyle and your diet every day, the way you look after your bank balance and everything else in your life.
I will say to you, Pat, that every bone in my body today did not want to train this morning. Every single part of me. We've just moved premises. I needed to tidy up the gym. I needed to get some book work done. I needed to find other things. Every part of me wanted to say, you have other things you have to do. Get them done. But I had to just do it. And every part of my body was just like, no, you don't want to train. But you have to find the time. And I understand that it's hard with children. I have two small children at home. I'm running gym. I'm trying to run the house. We've moved premises. Everything is just up in the air. And I'm probably at my most stressed at the moment. But I still have to find that time. I have to find that half an hour or 40 minutes where, and if the kids are involved, the kids are involved in it. Whether I'm doing a home workout at home, it's not easy for us either. Trust me on that one. It is very difficult, but you have to just try and find the time for yourself.
A number of people making points about kids, 7, 9 and 12, but they only get one PE class a week, yet they're forced to do hours of Irish and religion and so on. The school system needs to step up to the plate and provide opportunities for lots of exercise for children. Another one, I changed to a plant-based whole food diet due to issues with cancer. I lost a lot of weight, feel much better as a result. I eat all the time, never count the calories, dump the animal protein and processed foods, and there will be no obesity epidemic. Eva?
I mean, can I just make a comment about the fact that schools should, step up? Of course, you know, schools should do more and more. But I do think that we need to stop looking for continuously always outside home. I think we need to remember that the most important influence for children are parents. And parents are the responsibility to exercise and eat healthily, because that is the example that the children will follow. It's the same thing in studies and work and everything else. And if a parent is overweight, that you typically we say that overweight or obese child, one of the parents is overweight or obese themselves. And yes, this issue of Irish children becoming more and more overweight, now it's estimated a quarter of Irish children are already overweight and numbers are growing. It's a very sad situation, because many, many parents who see their children are having a little bit of puppy fat, those children most probably already obese. And we know that 70% of children who are carrying this so-called puppy fat stay actually as obese teenagers and become obese adults. So really, the prevention is the best care and the best cure. And in this case, I think the number one priority for the Irish government should be that we start doing health checks. And I'm now saying health checks for children in schools. I'm not anymore saying weighing, because there are still a part in Irish society who is very much objecting of weighing and taking children's height measures at school. I find this very, very weird, because it was done in my school, and I'm not 28, so it's been done in Finland for at least half a century. So what I'm saying is that this is one of the most important measures. Like we were talking there earlier about type 2 diabetes. There's no diabetes prevention programs in Ireland. There is so much that could be done cheaply and easily that is preventative, and it's increasing people's knowledge, because it's the ignorance which is the worst.
All right. Siobhan, just a question from a listener. How about a rowing machine? Is that good for building muscle and therefore perhaps losing weight?
Well, rowing machine is great. Again, it's a cardio exercise. It's love. I have two rowers in the studio. I love them personally. I love getting on the rower. It's a really good workout. Help to work the back muscles as well, and also the glutes and the legs. So it's a great workout to do. I will still advocate that you still should try and put in some strength training exercises into that, whether that be even body weight to start off at home. It would be great to mill them both together.
All right. Well, look, thank you both for joining us, Dr. Eva Orsman from Orsman Clinic and Siobhan Byrne from Body Byrne Fitness.